The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. There is no stop to the genocide in Gaza as the Israeli regime kills more Palestinians. This as the Holocaust reaches 6 months. Over 33,000 people have been killed as the so-called international community continues to look on. What has stopped in these 6 months is hope that international law would bring a halt to this genocide. The Israeli regime continues to ignore demands for a ceasefire because there has been no real ramifications exerted against them by the Western hegemonic front. What does it all mean? Well, stay with us as we take a look at this and more on The Spotlight. I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Out of Detroit, Saeed Khan, Director of Global Studies, Wayne State University. And out in Edinburgh, co-founder Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign, Mick Napier.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Well, thank you both for being with us. I'd like to start this off in Detroit with Saeed. Did you ever imagine back in October, when this particular genocide started, that we would still be witnessing this tragedy 6 months later?
There was always the hope and really the expectation that the international community, particularly those of Western powers and those who claim to have Israel as an ally, would have been able to exert more pressure in light of the carnage, in light of the completely disproportionate toll on civilian life, the devastation and the destruction of Gaza, its infrastructure, and really any viable form of having a quality of life. But what we saw, though, unfortunately, was a rather cynical ploy by Western powers, whether it was for their own domestic political agenda or as an extension of, let's face it, their own imperialistic appetites, that there were few to no constraints that they exerted on Israel other than the rhetorical, and even the rhetorical was very mild. I think it is important to also note, though, that the latest reports are that the Israeli forces are withdrawing from southern Gaza. Whether that is significant due to it being the six-month anniversary or because of the more recent international pressure that Israel has been facing, particularly in light of the targeted killing of seven World Central Kitchen food relief aid workers, has yet to be seen. But we do need to go ahead and then provide all of these contexts to realize that any kind of cessation right now is far too little and far too late.
Well, Mick, the numbers speak for themselves. There have been over 33,000 Palestinians killed by the Israeli regime in these 6 months. And you know, estimates are saying that probably at least 10,000 are still under the rubble. Over 200 aid workers, at least 140 journalists, along with over 685 medical staff, have also been killed by the regime during this time. I mean, your thoughts about this, it is absolutely amazing that we are still watching this. I mean, can this be called anything but genocide and crimes against humanity?
Israel has long been accused of crimes against humanity by various United Nations investigations, Goldstone Report, and ever since then. The word genocide is relatively new in official UN parlance, but this slow motion genocide in Gaza for decades and decades has always been punctuated by periodic massacres, 2008, 2009, 2014, 2021, which the Israelis call mowing the lawn or cutting the grass, on the basis that there is no possibility of negotiating with the Palestinians. How can you negotiate with people when they know the Israeli intention is to remove all of them from Palestine? So therefore no alternative but to carry on with periodic killings. I mean, there's a brutal logic to all of this, because once the West grew the state of Israel, Britain and France and then the USA, once they grew the state of Israel, provided it with everything it needed in order to grow, nuclear weapons, weapons of mass destruction, massive economic aid and so on, all predicated on the basis of Zionism, that they would remove as many Palestinians as possible at various different speeds, all of them were really doomed. Now that, when that came to a situation where the Palestinians continue to resist, refuse to give in, refuse to kiss the boot on their necks, then really, in a horrible sense, Israel had no alternative but to slaughter tens of thousands of them. Because you have to remember, when Western powers have approached black people in Australia, native people in North America, they have always had a huge demographic advantage. So that even when they were defeated militarily, as one Native American leader said, they're like leaves on the trees. There were so many. Absolute numbers of Europeans coming to these countries guaranteed their ultimate domination. But Israel is really 7 million Jews in Israel, 6 million Zionist Jews probably, and they're surrounded by 270, 280 million Arabs, who switch on their television sets and see people being killed because they are Arabs, because they speak Arabic. So the ultimate outcome of this struggle is not in doubt, but in the meantime, Israel needs to maintain what it calls its deterrent edge, its ability to terrorize people in Lebanon, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Egypt, and so on, by mass killing. Now, this has not been working. The Lebanese resistance is unbroken, and the Palestinian resistance is suffering huge attacks, but it's not being defeated. And Netanyahu said he was going in to exterminate Hamas, which is, of course, an impossibility, since they're a projection of the Palestinian people themselves. So where we are at the moment is massive genocidal violence, but it's baked into the whole Zionist project. And Israel bombing neighboring countries, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and so on, is also baked into the whole Zionist project. So its ultimate defeat seems to be very, very, very likely, very probable. But until that happens, Israel means war. Israel means violence and attacks on its neighbours. And I mean, from the comfort of my home here in Scotland, I still have to say, Zionism will only be defeated by only after it plunges the whole area into war.
Well, what about that, Saeed, what Mick has just said, that the Zionist project, it's obvious that it's over, but in the meantime, it will continue to inflict murder and genocide in the region. And first of all, I want to know if you agree with him. And second of all, if you do, why do we still see this Western hegemonic front support for this regime in the way that we're witnessing?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think you do see that there have been acts of provocation that suggest at least some kind of interest in broadening this to a regional conflict. The Israeli bombing of the Iranian consulate in Damascus is clearly meant not only as an act of provocation to try to draw Iran more closely into the conflict, but also to hopefully draw others into the conflict against Iran. The very idea that Prime Minister Netanyahu has for most of his recent political life been trying to get the West to go to war with Iran, the whole idea of making claims that Iran is moving toward a nuclear missile capability, providing false evidence even at the United Nations in 2006. This was even discredited by the U.S. Defense Intelligence Estimate. This is really, in some ways, about this one individual who doesn't mind burning everything down in order to save his own political career. But at the same time, I think it's important to also recognize that the West, as you had asked, is doubling down on Israel for whatever reasons. It is mortgaging many of its own stated values in order to prop up this this current campaign, which may suggest that the West is itself waning in its power, influence, its geopolitical credibility, and seemingly unconcerned about that. Whether this is because of that ambivalence or whether it is an act of final desperation with other world powers coming to the fore, it doesn't seem to bode well either for Israel or the West if this is going to persist when it comes to this full-throated support for what could best be described by many as a rogue and even a pariah state.
Right. Well, what about that, Mick? What we have seen the last 6 months, and your perspective of what it has done globally to the perspective of individuals about international law, international organizations such as the United States. It's United Nations, which was allegedly set up to prevent this type of genocide or what is happening that we're watching as we speak.
I think we have to look reality in the face, and certainly since 1945, that the international laws that were put in place after 1945, after the Nazi exterminations of Jews and Serbs and Gypsies and others, was never meant to be applied to benefit people in Asia or Africa or outside Europe. What they were concerned about was and indeed, you know, it's very clear from the Algerian War of Independence, 1.5 million killed. There was no question of these laws at Nuremberg and the Geneva Conventions being applied there. America killed 3 million Indochinese after its invasion of Vietnam began to go wrong. No question of they having any protection from the laws that were passed after 1945. No, these laws have never been applied. The so-called Western values were always a complete myth. If you look beyond them, genocide there was a program on BBC last week, which was quite remarkable. It dealt with the death of 3 million people in Bengal, deliberately allowed by the British to happen in 1943, organized by Churchill. Now, we can discuss that because of the distance of time the BBC can run that. But currently, a lot of people still think that the genocide in Gaza is something out of the norm in European history. But it's nothing of the sort. Now, given the balance of forces at the moment, I have one question. Why doesn't America carpet bomb Yemen? The Yemenis are coming to the aid of the people of Gaza facing genocide. They're attacking Israeli ships in the Red Sea. When the British and the Americans respond and bomb Yemen, they respond by attacking British and American ships as well. In Southeast Asia, and also elsewhere, America used B-52 carpet bombing to destroy huge areas of these countries. Why not? I think it's to do with America's power is declining. It relies on Arab allies more than in the past, because Israel has committed the ultimate crime. Israel was backed by America after 1967 massively. Before 1967, American aid to Israel was fairly modest. But after Israel showed that it could destroy Syrian, Egyptian, and Jordanian armies, that's when American aid began to go through the roof, and very, very quickly. But recently, this Israeli ability to get to prove to its paymasters in Washington that it can police the region, that it is a sturdy attack dog against people who defy America, that's beginning to fail. And I think the failure to crush the resistance in Lebanon, and now the failure to crush the resistance in Gaza, in anything like a respectable time, means that Israel's committing the only sin which counts in Washington, which is failure. And the failure to establish its power to dominate the region, I think, will reverberate for years to come. And that's why Israel is slaughtering so many Palestinian civilians in Gaza, because its ability to strut the stage of the Middle East as invulnerable has mm-hmm. been badly dented. And this by a non-state actor, by another fairly modestly equipped Arab militia. The Palestinian resistance has created a crisis inside Israel, huge demonstrations between different Zionist blocs, and it's created a crisis in world politics as well, in America, Britain, and elsewhere. It's not just that perceptions have changed across the Middle East, which is boiling. It's that millions of people in Britain and in America now view their governments and even their states quite differently than before October the 7th.
Right, right. Interesting points, Mick. What about that, Saeed? I mean, if we look at these 6 months and the changes that have taken place, let's start from here. First of all, a lot of the individuals who have become aware not only of the reality now of the Israeli regime and what it has been doing prior to, of course, October 7, 75 years, but also that there are countries that usually say that they support democracy and they stand for human rights and women's rights and kids' rights, but they have done nothing to stop this and they have continued to arm this entity. The significance of this growing awareness that is taking place?
Well, I think it's rather profound. This has really exposed in the last 6 months is a lot of demythification. First, looking at Israel, there was a myth of its military being all-powerful, and also, as some were making the claim, all-moral. Well, this conflict really completely eviscerated that. First of all, the morality of the IDF, by its own images that it has been transmitting around the world, refute that. But the idea that they were essentially caught completely off guard on October the 7th by Hamas, as Mick said, a non-state actor, really exposed the Israeli military for being far less competent, far less capable than it has projected. The second thing is Israel's intelligence and security service, which again has not only been something that is hallowed around the world, but also supposed to be a source for consternation and fear. That proved to be spectacularly incompetent and a failure on October the 7th. And then lastly, I think we have to take a look at the media narrative, which has been for so long dominant and dominated by the Israeli position. That has now changed irrevocably, that now people are starting to see, and to be fair, even within Israeli media like Haaretz and some others, criticism that is unprecedented of not just the leadership of Israel, but some soul-searching about its own mission, its own objective, and its own tactics. So I'm not sure that Israel can really recover from those. On the other issue regarding Western powers, I think that now we can safely say that the sun is setting on so-called Western liberal democracy, or at least the myth of it, that it has been able to, for so long, assert itself, even bully non-Western countries, particularly those in Africa, South America, and in Asia, browbeating them, using it as justification for sanctions and other actions against them to say, we are democracies, this is the gold standard. The credibility of countries like the UK, the U.S., France, Germany, Australia, and many others, is simply not there anymore. And so the idea then that other countries need to necessarily be fearful or act out of a sense of consternation toward Western countries, I think that that myth has also been sufficiently shattered.
Well, quite interesting. Your thoughts on that, Mick, if that is the case, if all of this has been shattered. Tell me your perspective of where the United Nations now stand in all of this, as far as global perspective, because it would appear that the United Nations has been totally impotent the last 6 months. Do you see now countries, especially those in the global south and others, trying to find an alternative to that UN system as it has badly failed humanity, especially the last 6 months?
Well, the UN has always, of course, had a built-in American, French, and even British veto. So therefore, it was always emasculated when it came to intervening against, for example, the American invasion of multiple countries, Central and South America, fomenting coups. The myth of liberal democracy, it was precisely that, a myth. We do have democratic rights in this country. We can stand in a street corner and shout. But when it comes to the core interests of the rulers of these countries, they're quite ruthless in America and in Britain in suppressing potential challenges to that politically. Jeremy Corbyn recently built the Labour Party to be a massive party, enjoyed great popularity, had huge rallies across the country, and he was crushed by an alliance of right-wing, the Labour Party right-wing, and the Zionist spearpoint. So that's always been a myth. But what's happened recently is it has burned into people's brains, into their psyche, what's happening in Gaza, surgeons amputating their own children's limbs without anesthetics. Horror piled upon a deeper horror, beyond the imagination of a horror filmmaker, has burned very deeply into millions and millions of people's awareness of what's going on. And they don't just ask about the horror in Gaza. It's so horrible people can't even think about it too much. But they are beginning to say, if our governments are capable of supporting this, they're capable of anything. And the Israeli genocide is an acid eating away at support across the Arab world, of course, when Arabs are being massacred because they're Arabs, but also across Western states as well, that more and more people are moving to a position of opposing what their government does. But within that, more and more, a very, very large number of people, unprecedented in my experience over several decades, an unprecedented number of people are committing themselves to oppose, in however vague a way, however unclear a way, the existing status quo, which they think has led to aggressive war after aggressive war, and now pay-by-TV genocide. So yes, I think it's quite remarkable. I think we will look back on this from years to come to see this was a seminal moment, that yes, something very big. You know, it's a cliche, and we're taught it all the time in Britain, the world changed after 9/11. Well, it did, only because of aggression and increasing numbers of wars fomented by the Pentagon. But the world is changing at the level of popular belief, popular commitment, and understanding of what's going on because of what's happened, because of the Palestinian resistance and the genocidal response of Israel. They may be able to execute large numbers of people, shoot women and children at close range, make sure that every child in the neonatal unit dies, and create conditions where every single person in an intensive care unit dies. This is now understood by more people than even those who understood the barbarism of the invasion of Iraq. So yes, I think it's a very dramatic moment, and it's going to play out in British politics, and I think in politics internationally.
Indeed. Well, thank you both for being with me on this Spotlight. Zaid Khan, Director of Global Studies, Wayne State University out of Detroit. Mick Napier, co-founder of Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign out of Wittenberg. And thank you for being with us on another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi, thanking you for being with us, and thanking you on behalf of all the crew right here in Tehran. Goodbye.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll discuss some of the contents of chapter Naml, the 27th chapter of the Holy Quran, as well as some of the commentary points of the verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 14th verse of Surah An-Naml.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
And we had certainly given to David and Solomon knowledge. And they said, Praise is due to Allah, who has favored us over many of his believing servants.
So, in the previous episodes regarding the previous verses, we mentioned shortly the story of the people of Pharaoh. They were the people who were transgressing. Their prophet Moses, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alihi salam, was granted from the side of the Almighty Allah with 9 different kinds of miracles, but they denied him. They denied him and they brought forth false accusations. They called it clear sorcery. And he called him a sorcerer, although he was the prophet of the Almighty Allah. And although their hearts acknowledged the fact and his prophethood. So why did they deny it? Because of ظلم and علوب, as the previous verses suggested. Now, that story is not explained in detail, since in the other parts of the Holy Quran, we have many other verses discussing the story of Prophet Moses. Now, the 15th verse starts with the story of Prophet Solomon, who inherits from David. So the verse says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا And certainly, we gave David and Solomon knowledge, and they both said, وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And they said both, Praise belongs to Allah, who has favored us above many of his believing servants. So, the fact of the matter is this knowledge. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا What is this kind of knowledge? The knowledge which has been given to David and Solomon may be the kind of knowledge which is called judgment. Its reference is the verse which it says, And we gave him wisdom and a clear judgment. And also with reference to the verse which says, And unto each of them we gave wisdom and knowledge. And from these verses we can understand that it may be the knowledge of speaking with the birds with reference to the verses that explain this kind of knowledge. The verses, for example, say, We have been taught the language of the birds. Or it may be the knowledge of making the coat of mail, as the Holy Quran says. And we taught him the art of making the coat of mail. Anyway, it is better to render this Quranic word, ilm, in a general sense. That is, the knowledge of administration of the country. So this is what we believe could be most probable.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine.
In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
حفظ الكتاب بصدره فبدا وضيئا كالنجوم تألقا وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So, brothers and sisters, this verse starts saying, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا. And certainly we gave David and Solomon knowledge. The 15th verse of chapter Naml. What is this knowledge? There are different kinds of probabilities and possibilities and interpretations when we look at the different verses of the Holy Quran regarding the explanation regarding this kind of knowledge. But this verse speaks about two other great divine prophets, David and Solomon. Of course, there is only a hint to David, but Solomon is explained more as we will turn to later on. Mentioning a part of the life story of these two prophets next to the story of Moses, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, could be for the sake that these two prophets were from among the prophets of the children of Israel too. So the difference between their story and the history of other prophets could be that these were more successful to establish a kind of great government because of the mental and social receptivity of the atmosphere of the children of Israel. And they could expand the divine religion by the help of their governmental power. Anyway, we believe that the style of explanation of the life story of other prophets who encountered the severe opposition of their nations and sometimes they were expelled from their home and city is not seen here, and the explanations are actually totally different. And this clearly shows to what extent the difficulties may be solved and the path can be rendered into level if the divine colors succeed to form a kind of government. However, here the words are about knowledge, ability, power, dignity. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودُ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا. And certainly we gave David and Solomon knowledge. So it speaks about submission of the birds and other creatures. Finally, about the severe struggle against idolatry through the way of logical invitation and then enjoying the power of government. And all these things are the qualities that separate the life story of these two prophets from that of the others. We will explain more in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always left for me, and that's when faith begins.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Thousands of Austrians marched under the slogan "Stop the genocide, stop the occupation" in the capital Vienna. The Palestine Committee and Palestine Solidarity Austria organized the demonstration. The march was held on Saturday, a week after house raids of Palestinian activists in the city of Linz. Police recently also interrogated protesters in other cities. International Quds Day was an aspiration for the organizers of Saturday's protest.
And all these commemoration days is to really say, wake up, we are really in the situation where people are getting killed every day and we have to stop it as soon as possible.
Organizers also criticized a four-day visit of the President of the Austrian Parliament, Wolfgang Sobotka, to Israel this week.
Well, obviously, when looking at the last 6 months, there's been some unconditional support for Israel, obviously, and their action in the Gaza Strip, which is absolutely unacceptable.
Several speakers stressed Austrian solidarity with Palestinians in war-torn Gaza as the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war continues unabated. They said the Austrian government does not speak for them.
It's the most obvious wrongdoing that I've ever seen in my life.
The protesters called for support for Lebanon and Yemen against US imperialist aggression. People from around the world joined the Vienna march.
I was born in Chile under a dictatorship and I have a lot of Palestinian friends. I am even wearing a t-shirt from a team called Palestina, who was founded by Palestinian migrants several years ago. I couldn't be in peace with myself if I wasn't here demonstrating and saying and raising my voice, at least.
Representatives of Jewish organizations such as Not In Our Name stressed their continued solidarity with the Palestinian struggles. Organizers said all Austrians must continue to protest against the US-Israeli genocide and their government support for it, despite the repression.
We cannot call ourselves humans, regardless of our nationalities or political views or religions, and be indifferent about what's going on nowadays in Gaza.
Thousands marched in the Austrian capital Vienna in support of the people and the resistance in Gaza as the Israeli genocide war claims more civilian lives. Despite Austria's repression, the state and the police were unable to stop the Palestine solidarity movement. Saturday's demonstration has once again shown that the support for Gaza remains strong in Austria. Dieter Reinisch, Vienna.
military parade, Hezbollah marked International Quds Day in Lebanon, where hundreds of Lebanese and Palestinians raised their fists in a show of support for the resistance group and its leader. Hezbollah Secretary General underscored the significance of the Lebanese front and raised his voice in response to the Israeli threat, saying the resistance in Lebanon is fully prepared for any war.
The resistance in Lebanon does not fear war. It has managed battle in the last 6 months with a clear strategy and a vision which is complementary to the ongoing battle in the region. The resistance has managed the battle in a manner that would lead to victory while protecting Lebanon. However, it is fully prepared morally, mentally, and militarily for any war which the enemy would regret having launched against Lebanon.
Hezbollah's leader downplayed the ability of the Israeli regime to launch a full-scale war on Lebanon with the fact that it is extremely exhausted and has achieved none of its declared objectives except for the killing of innocent women and children. And despite the sacrifices, he said, the alliance of resistance is on the path to a historic and major victory.
Based on logic and political, military, diplomatic, regional, international and economic information, we are able to see very clearly what the leader of the Iranian revolution had said during the first days of the war, that Israel will be defeated and that Gaza will be victorious, and Netanyahu will have no choice but to stop the war, which will be a historic and major victory for the resistance in the region.
A significant part of the speech touched upon the Iranian role in supporting the resistance factions and the oppressed people of the region. It also confirmed that the Iranian response to the Israeli attack on the consular section of the Iranian embassy in Damascus will certainly come, and that everyone needs to be ready for what may lie ahead after this retaliation.
We are very close to a victory, since the blood that has been shed in Gaza and Lebanon and from all our brothers will be fruitful. This is why this year is exceptional, and it has a very positive impact on our hearts and has given us hope that a big victory is possible.
It's not just the duty of Muslims to take part in Al Quds Day, but also as human beings all over the world, since it proves their humanity.
We are here not to support just Gaza, we are supporting all Palestine, the resistance in all region. We'll elaborate Palestine and Al-Quds, and we will win, inshallah.
Hezbollah's leader also noted that Al-Aqsa flood has put Israel's existence in danger and exposed its vulnerabilities, and those who should be ashamed are the ones who have normalized ties with Israel.
Al-Quds Day this year is distinct on all levels. Loud actions have been made, not only in support of the Palestinian people, but in establishing what could turn into a tangible plan to end the occupation of the Holy Land. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
The International Quds Day this year comes following Israel's airstrike on the consular section of Iran's embassy in Damascus that killed 7 Iranian military officers. This latest Israeli attack, together with over 6 months of regime's genocide in Gaza, prompted thousands of Iranians to pour into the streets across the country to mark Quds Day.
Recently, there was an incident in which we were all heartbroken and devastated, as 2 of the top Iranian generals were killed and our country's embassy was air targeted. This act was against international and human rights law. As an Iranian and a Jew, we condemn this issue.
Quds Day is commemorated all over the world on the last Friday of Ramadan. It is a day of international solidarity with the Palestinian people. Just like previous years, the Iranian Jew community also joined other protesters to express their support for Palestinians in Gaza. This community believes that the United Nations and the Western countries have been totally inactive over the ongoing genocide in the Gaza Strip.
We are not anti-Semites, but we are anti-crime, we are anti-killing, and in one word, we are anti-Zionist. And we live in peace with each other in Iran, with Jews, but we don't have any problem with Jews. We have problem with genocide, with killing, with Zionists.
We send a message to all young and free people around the world that humanity is in danger today. Hear our voice, our belief, and our goal. Down with Israel.
This year, the International Quds Day comes amid the ongoing Israeli onslaught on Gaza. Israel has cut off fuel, electricity, food, and water to Palestinians living in the besieged territory.
Iranians once again resonated voices of solidarity with Palestinians on International Quds Day and also strongly condemned the recent criminal acts of the Israeli regime leading to the martyrdom of two senior Iranian military personnel. When it comes to violation of human rights, nobody can stay silent. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
Thousands flooded the streets across Pakistan to denounce the United States and Israel for their war crimes in Gaza.
The US is a terrorist state. Israel is a terrorist regime. They are spreading terrorism against innocent men, women, and children in Gaza through their relentless attacks. The US and Israel are using their military might to systematically oppress and kill innocent Palestinians in Gaza.
Protesters marking Quds Day voiced their unwavering solidarity with the Palestinian people in their struggle against the Israeli occupation.
Israel is a fascist and illegitimate regime that is committing war crimes in Gaza by killing innocent men, women, and children on daily basis. The end of Israel is necessary to maintain peace in the world.
Amid chants condemning Israel and the United States, speakers criticized what they called the criminal silence of the world on Israel's war crimes in Gaza.
We demand from the governments, from the Muslim governments, especially the government of Pakistan, to take practical actions. Just lip service is not enough. Just passing resolutions is not enough. Governments should take practical steps for the security of the people of Gaza.
Quds Day is an annual event observed on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan across the world to express solidarity with the Palestinians.
International Quds Day rallies in Pakistan are a manifestation of a solidarity with the Palestinians. The rallies are also a show of unity among Muslims worldwide. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Under the title Flood of the Free, thousands of Syrians and Palestinians along with regional resistance forces rallied in their Mook Palestinian refugee camp in Damascus to commemorate International Quds Day. A joint military parade was organized by the Palestinian resistance as a message of strength and determination.
The commemoration of International Quds Day this year comes after Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, which constituted a strategic shift in a war against the Zionist enemy. It also comes amid the legendary resilience in the Gaza Strip, under the devastating onslaught and the cohesion among all resistance movements participating in this operation.
The Yarmouk camp has witnessed violent battles against terrorism. And today, from the same liberated camp, Syria, Iran, Hezbollah, and Palestine vow to keep fighting until the liberation of all occupied territories from the grip of the Israeli terrorist regime and its sponsors. After the military parade, speeches were delivered by representatives of resistance movements.
Today we commemorate International Quds Day, which coincides with the ongoing Israel attacks for the past 6 months on our Palestinian people in Gaza, resulting in a significant number of martyrs and wounded, mostly women and children. The resistance continues and will prevail, and we confirm our absolute support for the resistance both logistically and politically.
Representatives of the resistance praised the profound strategic vision of the founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, who declared the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan as Quds Day. They say this vision was the cornerstone of the resistance front alliance with Palestine as its compass.
This is not from today. Since 1979, Imam Khomeini set this day for us to gather every year to the support of Palestine, liberation of Palestine, from river to the sea, and also for the support for all the oppressed people all over the world.
Quds Day has proven to be more than just a celebratory occasion. It is a day that unifies people and brings them together around the Palestinian cause.
The crowds that gathered in solidarity with Gaza to commemorate this day have proven the wisdom of the Islamic Revolution in Iran by establishing an international day for Al-Quds as a constant reminder for the Palestinian cause. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Thousands of protesters have flocked to central London on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan to honour the call of International Quds Day. The annual event was established by Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, in 1979 to express solidarity with the Palestinians and inculcate a Muslim-led opposition to Zionism.
With the ongoing genocide in Gaza unfolding before the world's eyes, this year's protest has taken on extra significance and emotion. It's because people are standing up to a Zionist supremacist entity which has thus far murdered over 33,000 people while still not being able to destroy the capabilities of the resistance.
Due to its popularity, many attempts have been made by pro-Israel groups to ban the Al-Quds rally. And this year, these lobbying efforts fall within the wider context of Zionists and their agents at the top of government trying to get all Palestine marches banned since last October. Efforts that have thus far been resisted by police and other elements within the establishment. Those on the march steadfastly reject any attempts to ban it.
It's very contradictory in a country that promotes freedom of speech around the world, human rights and democracy around the world. They want to stop people from protesting, not only these issues, but many other issues. And it's our duty as citizens of this country and the West to continue supporting through democratic means and protest the cause of Palestine.
When you look at the counter-demonstrators, they're a hopscotch of people, Zionists, far-right, British nationalists and so on and so forth, extreme-right, nasty elements of British society. They're all on that side. So if you want to ban anyone, ban that lot. We're very representative of British society, especially London society. We're white, black, green, brown, every religion, every colour you can imagine, we're all here.
I'm here to show solidarity with the people in Gaza especially who are suffering genocide, and also show solidarity with our brothers and sisters of all faiths and none who are calling upon our government to uphold international law.
The people of Gaza have won the admiration of the world with their steadfastness against this unprecedented genocide, but as they stand on the brink of a deliberate famine engineered by the Zionist entity, it has scarcely been as important for the voice of the world at rallies like Al-Quds Day to shout loudly for justice and liberation for Palestine. Isa Kadhimi, London.
Down with America, down with Israel. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. These were some of the slogans that reverberated across Indian-administered Kashmir to commemorate the International Quds Day. Thousands of people, including women and children, poured onto the streets across the region after Friday prayer in a show of solidarity with Palestinians. Holding banners and placards, the protesters condemned Israel's war crimes committed against Palestinians in Gaza Strip.
6 months of war has seen unprecedented destruction in Gaza, where houses have been knocked down and hospitals bombed. Thousands of children have been killed, relief workers attacked. The onslaught on Palestinians has shaken the conscience of humanity. This wanton killing and destruction must stop.
People cutting across religious divide have come out today to condemn Israel's genocide in Gaza. Innocent children are being killed every day. It's high time Muslim world and those who believe in humanity unite against Israel's atrocities.
The protesters denounced what they called the criminal silence of the international community over the mass killings of Palestinians. They also condemned Israeli deadly airstrikes on Iranian embassy's consular building in Syria. Since Israeli regime began its onslaught on October 7, more than 33,000 people have been killed.
I want to call on international community to play their critical role in getting Palestinians their inalienable right to life. Also, I call on the religious class of the world, including Pope Francis, that humanitarian ceasefire should be implemented in the occupied territory of Gaza, and Palestinians should be given unrestricted access to the life-saving aid. And I call on Palestinian people that not only the Day of Quds, we are with you every day, and call on that we will stand with you by thick and by thin.
The protesters also urged the Indian government to intervene and help restore peace in Gaza. Ever since the founder of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, declared the last Friday of Ramadan as International Quds Day, every year millions of people across the world take to the streets on this day to remind people of the Palestinian cause.
As part of International Quds Day, people here in Kashmir have held rallies to express solidarity with the people of Palestine amid the genocidal onslaught in Gaza. The protesters called on the international community to break its silence and unite against Israel. Said Ali Safir, Indian administered Kashmir.
Tempers are running high in Pakistan over Israel's onslaught in Gaza. In a dramatic incident, a KFC restaurant in Pakistan-administered Kashmir was set ablaze during an anti-US-Israel protest. Following the incident, police detained over 50 individuals who were accused of attacking the restaurant in the Mirpur district.
We do not support the burning of KFC, but we want to boycott it as it is in support of genocide. We stand with boycott and we do boycott. We do not want them, we just want them not to fund Israel and help them in their genocide.
The arson comes as US-Israeli genocide in Gaza shows no signs of abating. The regime's attacks on all areas of the besieged territory, including hospitals, schools and aid convoys, continue.
We are already seeing the impact on the economy, on the financial decline of McDonald's and boycott. It's huge. Even in some countries, in Arab countries, those outlets are being closed because nobody is buying it.
The ongoing genocide in Gaza has fueled anger and frustration among people worldwide, prompting calls for boycotts against entities believed to support Israel financially or politically.
Boycott is something that we are, this is what we feel from our heart, from inside, that we don't want to support their economy. We don't want to support the companies that are supporting the Israeli soldiers. So for that, we need to boycott. I know this is not a permanent solution, but we have to boycott.
Authorities are now faced with the challenge of managing the fallout from the incident and preventing further escalation of tensions.
As tempers run high in Pakistan due to the call for boycotting pro-US and pro-Israeli brands, the targeted destruction of a KFC restaurant represents a symbolic reaction of the people, both locally and globally, against US-Israeli genocide in Gaza. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the holy month of Ramadan has taught us resistance. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we are quickly coming to a close and an end of the holy month of Ramadan. It's interesting, we find in the du'as and in Sahifa Sajjadiyya, in these statements of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, the fourth divinely appointed Imam, that the holy month of Ramadan was like the